2 years, or maybe not work 2 years.
So Teddy, the certification.
We are in compliance. The meeting was posted on November 27th and December 2nd.
Now, I don't see the roll call here on my agenda, but we have.
You are right, there is. You're absolutely right. Roll call is missing.
So we have one supervisor that's not present. Mike Skolinski is on a business trip. So every other supervisor is present. The two youth and governments will not be here today. I think Madeline might be here for the 7 o'clock meeting.
She's hoping to make the 7 o'clock, yeah.
And then staff is here. Your staff is here. So with that, then the feature program, AmeriCorps Vista impacts with Central City audiences.
Can I go back just a second, Chairman? Can we move the agenda to bring youth and governance up ahead of the educator reports, if that's okay?
Sure.
Okay. So we, yeah, so we have that plenty of time for that discussion. Okay. Thank you. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Holly Meyer. Holly has actually been with us since 2006. Which is hard to believe. She's currently serving as an AmeriCorps Vista member, and I'm going to let her describe what that means, what that role is actually. It's her second time to be in that position. She actually started as an AmeriCorps Vista in 2006. And then we were fortunate enough to continually find short-term funding to keep her for another year. Keep her for another year. You know, it's kind of like this little patchwork piece. Whereby she's held many roles and responsibilities, but primarily always working in what we would consider our central city, our urban areas, in youth development and other programs. So she is currently working in the Lincoln Brass neighborhood area and working primarily in 4-H youth development at Brass Community School, as well as partnering with the ELCA Outreach Center. So Carmilla's going to talk just a bit about the 4-H component of that, and then we're going to turn it over to Holly.
So basically, the Brass Bulldogs 4-H is the only club that we currently have in the city of Kenosha. Expanding 4-H to the urban areas, or you know, in many, not just in Wisconsin, but many of these things has been a challenge. You know, I think there's many 4-H educators who have been, you know, brainstorming how to do this. This is not unique to Kenosha. It's happening in many other counties. I think 4-H traditionally has, you know, a stronghold in the rural parts, and the program has evolved. In some states, there's some success, but we still got a lot of work to do to reach to the city. One of the things that we find challenging is the traditional 4-H community club model based on a volunteer leader has been difficult to establish in many urban areas. And those places that we've been successful is like here in Kenosha, we have a paid staff who has stepped in and do the exact same role that a community volunteer would do in rural areas. The resources are complex. Nobody knows for sure what is, you know, why it's so difficult to, you know, bring in volunteers in urban areas. But we surely are doing a lot of work to expand access. And Holly has done a great, you know, a great work keeping this program, this club alive in the city of Kenosha. So I think she, better than anyone else, can explain, you know, the successes that she has, you know, with the club.
So Carmelo put together just a great pictorial presentation for you. You can see it's going to show about 4-H. And then also about the things that I've done with the ELCA Outreach Center in the summertime. So we're gonna just watch this, see the pictures, and then you'll understand, can have something to, like a frame of reference for the things that I am talking about. Thank you. kind of see a glimpse of some of the things. It was fun even putting together all the pictures for this. Was sometimes I think in your just daily doing things, you think, do we ever do anything? And to look at all the pictures and see all the different lives impacted is really kind of exciting. So as Teddy said, I started here at Extension in 2006. I had never even heard of what Extension was. I thought, like, is that something with Parkside, you know, like what everyone else does? And then my church had joined with Extension to do some neighborhood revitalization efforts in Lincoln neighborhood. And through that, I came on as AmeriCorps Vista. I was working at a school in Waukegan that I really disliked and was very excited to do education in a different way. So I just, with AmeriCorps, the goal of an AmeriCorps Vista is to try to understand what it's like to live in poverty. And as a federal program, AmeriCorps is trying to help alleviate poverty in the United States with a variety of different programs all over the nation. It's kind of often referred to as the domestic Peace Corps. So doing things, this is the 50th year of AmeriCorps in the United States, and Kenosha County has had several AmeriCorps Vistas just as UW Extension, but in many other organizations across the city and county too. So you might not even know what some of the impacts have been through AmeriCorps Vistas. So as Teddy said, for the last year and a half, I've been serving in this another AmeriCorps role and doing a variety of things. It's interesting how through the last almost 9 years, my job title has changed bit by bit, depending on what funding we're using and kind of a little of this. But thankfully, all the main partners that I've worked with through neighborhood revitalization, through education, through financial literacy, through all these different things, business advocacy, they all, really the main partners have all stayed the same. So when you get to work with the same people for 9 years, you really can build rapport and become connected with a lot of different agencies. I love it when people call me and say, well, I've got this issue and what can I do? You know, or recently the Boys and Girls Club, someone from the Boys and Girls Club called me and said, we were given this huge donation of this. Who would give it to? And so then I was able to call four different other places and say, oh, do you want some of this? Do you want this? And that's one of my favorite things, that I could help others by, you know, just having connections. So the two main projects that I get to be involved with are 4-H, as you saw, and the ELCA Outreach Center. So our 4-H club, I do other things at Brest School besides 4-H. I help to support their PTO, their parent teacher organization. I help with other special educational projects that the principal would like to have happen but no teacher has time to do or organize, and some other parent things. Just kind of hoping that I could be more of like a liaison with parents to help them not be afraid to come into the school and to realize that sometimes just hosting a fun event that brings them in the school helps them to not be so nervous about coming in the school for other things like talking to their child's teachers and things like that. So through 4-H, as Carmela said, you know, we don't, our kids all live in the city, and they don't have horses or cows or chickens or anything that people often think of with 4-H. However, 4-H is so much larger than that, and those are the things that we try to expose them to. Most of the kids in my club will never come to the fair. Some of them have never even attended the fair. Most of them will never participate in the fair as far as entering something for a variety of reasons, but mostly because it takes them over an hour to get there. And some of them don't have cars even. And the cost of building a project or doing, like, that's just not feasible for them. So we try to do things that exposes them to a variety of 4-H project areas in our monthly meetings. So we've done things such as we do a lot of service projects. You saw a picture with a girl who had a purple hat on, and or a green hat with a purple heart, and that was a project that we did teaching sewing to the kids. You know, some of them have never sewn anything, never threaded a needle. Some of their parents had never threaded a needle. You know, just so trying to teach some life skills through experiential learning, and then the kids then get to give suggestions to where we would donate those hats, and then they vote and decide who they would donate to. So several years we did hats, and then last year we did pillows for the Humane Society. They wanted to do it to Children's Hospital, but we didn't wash the material to the right, you know, specifications beforehand. So the animals don't care. So we donated it there. And we do, you saw a Pinewood Derby, and that's something that we, our club does as a service project for the entire school. So all the parents and families of the 4-H club help to sponsor this Pinewood Derby. And then we've had a church come on board in the community who they host their own Pinewood Derby. So they have opened up to all the kids at Brass to come over to their church two different weekends and use all the woodworking equipment. So families can come who typically wouldn't have had a way to cut out this car. They can come to go to that church, cut it, sand it, and then take it home and work together to paint it and do all that. And it's just so neat to see. The principal said, you know, we never have events where we see dads coming in with their kids or big brothers coming with their kids excited about something together. You know, usually moms will come, but it's neat to see this whole cheering section of dads, like, super excited about these cars that are racing down a little track. So that's a really neat one. We expose them to food projects through gingerbread houses and cupcake decorating. You saw some of our science experiments there with that yellow, it's called elephant toothpaste. We've done rocketry, photography. We do plants. We've planted plants and given them away to a nursing home. Sports and just all kinds of things, trying to help the kids develop this leadership skills. You know, we have one student or one member at the beginning of every club stands up with the gavel and calls a meeting to order and leads the group in pledges. And, you know, if the meeting gets a little crazy, they love to bang on the table. Last month, the boy said, "I was really hoping people would be loud tonight. I didn't get to bang the gavel at all." So just kind of little bit by bit trying to expose them even to how order works in a meeting and things like that. And I think for me, the biggest thing with this club is just to see families being involved in projects together. You take your kids to something like Boy Scouts or whatever, and you just drop them off and then you pick them up later. And this is neat to see whole families coming together and working on projects. So now our ELCA Outreach Center, the summer camp, is phenomenal. It is such a neat thing that I've been privileged to be a part of. The ELCA Outreach Center is a nonprofit in Kenosha, started by the ELCA Lutheran Churches in Kenosha and by St. Anne's Catholic Church a long time ago. And they've had this summer camp that I've been involved with ever since I started in 2006. And Extension has been involved with it longer than that. And it has evolved over the last, you know, 9 years to become something that truly is a partnership between Extension and the Outreach Center. And my role has been to oversee all the educational components of the camp. And then the Outreach Center provides the partnerships really in town with the, this year we This year we expanded to, we moved to a school, an elementary school, Absola Elementary School. Said, you know, we don't have anything for our kids to do after summer school is out. And a lot of them, you know, if we send them home, they're just going to empty houses. So would you be willing to host your summer camp here? So we thought, wow, we have a captive audience and we have air conditioning and a gigantic gym and a playground. Sure. So we kind of brought in the school district as a partner, and they paid for busing for the kids for field trips that we did, which is extraordinarily expensive usually. And then we had this amazing facility for free. So we had, in the past, had about 50 kids in the program, and this last summer we had 150. So there were some little growing pains in that kind of number changes. But these are children from low-income families or families that are maybe right on the border where they make too much money to qualify for services and they make too little money to pay for childcare. So instead of being able to pay the $40 a day per child it would be for their kid to go somewhere after summer school, their kids would probably be home alone. Or they could come with us and have a huge variety of experiences. So on the extension side, we have in the past had the privilege of having summer AmeriCorps Vistas who just serve a short term, 8 weeks, who would come, typically college students, and teach summer, teach for us. So this year we had someone teaching science, someone teaching gym, like all different kinds of physical education and health education, and someone doing art. And then among that, or on top of that, they did a variety of other things too, gardening, and I taught financial literacy with the kids this summer. The nutrition educators came and taught healthy living. We have the Kenosha Unified teachers came and teach math, and then we teach supplementary things. We taught reading, and then the kids get to go to swimming lessons at the YMCA. And everything that we did with them is free of charge to their family through grants from United Way, from the Kenosha Community Foundation, from just organizations that have decided, like, wow, this is amazing. They see the impact, and like Ocean Spray donated cases and cases and cases of juice just to the, you know, summer. For me, the financial literacy piece is very interesting. I decided I'd start really, have some real achievable, what I thought were small goals by having them, I wanted them to just learn some words. And they were things like deposit, withdrawal, teller, cashier, savings. And we decided the best way to teach them would be to have a store and a bank. So you saw one picture that said, had like, bank withdrawals, bank deposits, and had all the colorful money around it. And we kind of incorporated it with our behavior system. So they had a red, green, yellow behavior chart for the day, like a stoplight. So if they stayed on their green spot, then they automatically had direct deposit, call it, to their account, $2 for that day of our money. And then if they were yellow, they got $1, and if they were red, nothing. So once a week, they could come to the store, and then they would have to visit the teller. At first at the bank, they'd have to visit the teller and find out how much money was in their account, and then how much they would like to withdraw, or how much they would like to save. And we tempted them, you know, like, here's this pile of candy that's $1 only. You could pick a whole lot of those today. Or over here is this Lego set that costs $40, and you're going to have to save all summer. Like, what do you want? You know, so really neat just to see kids, like, making making choices. And that boy at the end of the summer who had saved up the most money, and he got to go to the store first, and he had this Lego set. You just have never seen a bigger smile. And there's one girl who saved up, and she got an American Girl doll. And her mom came to me later crying, saying, like, oh, she's always wanted one of those, and we never could buy one, and she saved up, and, you know, and that had been donated to us. So it was neat to just, you know, some of these kids haven't, when I was little, my grandparents opened a savings account for me, and ever since I was really small, they taught me about that. We had workers this summer who had never had bank accounts, and neither had their parents, and they were adults. So some of our children had never stepped into a bank before. So really, like, kind of walking through this was really a whole new learning experience. So I think what Teddy didn't say is that, you know, my AmeriCorps Vista role or appointment ends mid-April, and...
Because I want to forget that part.
Yeah. And there has been clearly made very clear that there will not be room for me to continue that. And, you know, I think this has been such an exciting ride. So many great partnerships. And, of course, it'd be nice to have a job. But I think I'm mostly sad to see this part end, this, what you, you know, building relationships and building time. And I'm confident that Extension is committed to these partnerships that I made. So they're going to do their best to Teddy and Carmelo to fill in some of the gaps, but without having someone who's dedicated to, I mean, you know, full time to do that. Carmelo can't be at doing his own work plus be at a summer camp, you know, 4 days a week, all afternoon. So that part is. So do you have any questions before my time is over? I have a few minutes.
Where's KUSD in some of these things?
Well, this year was the first time that they were our partnership, really, that they partnered with us. And really, as a whole KUSD, they're nowhere. There's a component of Kenosha Unified who is in charge with family involvement, kind of the portion that supports the parent-teacher organizations. They often have chipped in a little bit of money. And this year, I mean, that was really EBSOLA's own budget that paid for, you know, that gave us the building and paid for some busing, and because they were committed to their own students.
What does ELCA stand for?
Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. It's just one branch of the Lutheran faith in the U.S.
And at Pinewood Derby, wasn't it a Cub Scout thing? I remember doing that.
You know, 4-H is taking over. We are taking Pinewood Derby. Yeah, it's not, I mean, typically it is very Boy Scout, Cub Scouts, but they don't necessarily have they don't have a patent on it, so we do it here. A countywide 4-H Pinewood Derby in February, and then we just do a club one at our location.
You're right on target. My predecessor John was in the Boy Scouts, so that's how he learned, and he brought it to 4-H, you know, and
yeah.
And it now is really good in 4-H. You know, it's a big event.
Yeah.
Thanks, Holly.
Right.
You're welcome. And she has another commitment to go to.
I'm sorry.
As far as the funding, you said it's done in April. I mean, is there any way that you could make a presentation to somebody that showed them what you've been able to accomplish?
That's our hope. I mean, that truly is our hope. Between now,
we're going to do that.
Yeah.
To who?
Well,
anyone who will listen.
I think KUSD needs to listen. We're doing one of their schools. Is a board? Is Dr. Sue aware of you?
I don't
That's a good question. That is a great question. The director of the ESL Outreach Center, Carl Erickson, and I are going to meet to talk about what are some of our options and who are the other partners we need to bring in to fill this sort of gap.
I would recommend that you go to Dr. Sue on this and do talk and put it on the agenda for a board meeting and just see where that goes. I can help.
Yeah, for sure. I know that last year, after other schools found out that Absola had leveraged the Outreach Center to hold this program at their school, other schools were like, hey, wait a minute, you could come to our school too. And Absola was saying, you can't leave us. You can't leave our school. So even principals for sure would like this to be duplicated amongst many schools.
Why don't you put that to make a talk to Ms. Dr. Sue?
Yeah.
In the near future. And just start there and let me know. I mean, I know the school board members fairly well. I can throw out
two cents. Terrific. Great. Yeah.
As many of us do. I'm not the only one.
Sure. That's a super idea. And I'll connect with Carl to figure out how do we get that opportunity to talk to Dr. Sue and share the impact so that she too can see the value.
Both initiatives, because the club has, the members are steady. It's also sustainable program, based on...
One of the areas you can hit her with, too, on this is she has... she put Sharonda Glass, who's on... Sharonda Glass is on our board of... she got elected. Which board is she?
The Workforce Development.
Is that it?
Oh, probably. She's on Workforce... Okay.
Okay.
She's on Workforce
that's
Development.
That's a guess.
Okay.
Yeah, she's on Workforce Development. She was there this morning.
Yeah. Okay.
This project of helping and this outreach ideas is important to her. And Sharonda is in charge of that from the school district standpoint. And I reached out to them to see if, from the county standpoint, it's kind of new in its infancy, but that would be another person that.
That's good to know. I've met Sharonda, but it was some time ago. So
Sharonda is more of the business person there. She's a very busy person, but would for sure have a conversation.
Great suggestions, but yeah, it's Carmel and I are definitely well aware that we have some big shoes to fill and to figure out how to keep some funding to be able to maintain. So great suggestions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Holly. Thank you. Excuse me.
Well, I'll jump right into youth and governance, if that's okay. Yes. And I shared with all of you the attendance record. So does anybody need another copy? Does everybody have it? Everybody need a copy?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got it. Yeah, I've got some here.
Here, we can share.
So I'll remind you that the policy states that youth must have attended at least 50% of their committee meetings by November, or they will be asked to step down and an alternate will take their place on the committee. And so I have confirmed with all of the committees, indicating how many meetings each committee has held since May and how many meetings each youth and governance member has attended. And then you can see the variety of committees have different numbers. On how many they've attended. The interesting piece this year is to remember that Daniel and Anna have been reassigned. So they were originally appointed to the executive committee, and that meeting wasn't included in these stats, just so you know. There was only one meeting. One of them attended, one of them didn't, but in all fairness, then we just started with that reassignment. So that's why they're a little different. So calculating the percentage shows that we do have one member, Bennett, on Finance and Administration, who has only achieved a 45% attendance. And I will share with you that the mentor for the Finance Administration is Chairman Brunig, and she communicated to him several times. In fact, she emailed me to say that she even shared with him that he was in danger of not meeting the attendance requirement, and that his choices to not be at the meeting, whether it was volleyball or whatever, I believe it was volleyball, that was going to impact his an outcome. And so I just wanted you to know that. I wanted you to know that the mentor had been in contact with him, has been aware. In fact, she said I reminded him several times that he made a commitment to the program, but he felt that volleyball was more important. Even during the budget hearings, I stressed how important it was that he attend. While I'm not on the committee anymore, I'd recommend that he be removed and an alternate be put in. The youth need to understand the commitment they make to the program and that we are serious about their attendance. So I'll share with that with you. And then I'll also just give you additional feedback. Madeline emailed earlier this afternoon that she'd had a family emergency, so I asked if she would share her input for this part of the discussion, and she did, and she said, I thought the attendance for 45% was below the required amount, which is disappointing. If something serious was happening with the youth or they were very ill, this would be understandable, but if they're just blowing off the meetings and not giving legitimate reasons, this should result in asking the youth to not discontinue involvement. So, and I didn't know about Eddie not being here, so I didn't get to get his input, so I don't have his input. So your decision tonight would be to recommend to Chairman Kubicki, since he makes all the appointments on committees, to remove Bennett and replace him with an alternate. And we do have alternates ready. I mean, they are told they're alternates when they're after the interviews, because they're the next highest points.
You know, one of the just think of like our guy Eddie, 100%. Would he want to move to the finance committee?
We've never considered that.
The only reason I'm saying that is he seems. I mean, not that we wouldn't want him here. I'm just saying that's a pretty high level pool playing. And
However, he may
show interest in this, or another one of the 100%ers. They may want to get an opportunity to see what that finance committee is like, because that's where a lot of the action in this place is.
I will just share this, that when they sign on for youth and governance, they rank the committees that they want to be on. So we try very hard to give them their first or second choice. I wouldn't be able to know what Eddie's was, but they do make that decision themselves.
I think both the PDEC, and I could be wrong, I think both the PDEC kids are from Central, aren't they?
I think they chose PDEC,
right,
too.
That's fine.
Yeah,
this was just a thought, because he's doing very well.
And finance kind of slowed down after the budget.
Yeah. That 11 meetings, do they meet twice a month? Why do they have so many more meetings?
No, that's because of the budget.
The budget. And in fact,
and are they told that about hearing meetings?
When they sent it in, there are actually a couple of finance committee meetings that they don't expect the youth to attend, so they say not applicable when they do that. So they tell them which ones they're expected at and which ones they're not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's the thoughts on the
game? I thought it was remove Bennett. Make a motion to what do we do?
We move to recommend to Chairman Kubicki to replace him on finance and admin with an alternate.
I make a motion to do that.
I'll second it.
I have a motion to remove the person that's under 50 and replace him with an alternate, seconded by his Supervisor Vogel. Do we have one on the waiting list that specifically asked for the finance committee? Is that how you're going to do it?
Actually, we just go with whoever is next. They're told that the letter she received said, although you were not selected, you are considered an alternate and could be asked to step in to fill the needed term of the youth and governance member. So this individual would know she's going to fill in wherever needed.
Oh, so we only have one alternate?
You have two.
Two alternates.
The two next highest.
March, April.
And May.
So five meetings.
Mm-hmm. And we can ask this person, and they may say, my life's too busy, I'm not able to, and we go to the next alternate.
What were the meetings that this person missed? Was it all at, was it?
I'm sure it was the budget meetings.
Was it at the budget meeting?
No, it was before the budget
as
well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He almost has not made a meeting since September.
So he's sort of written it off.
And I believe, as Supervisor Brunning explained to me, it was the commitment to volleyball.
Okay.
I could see where somebody on the finance could, like if you had something going one particular week with the finance has like three meetings in one week and you can't make any of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could really hurt your numbers, but it sounds to me like
I thought he was there. I thought there were kids there.
Remember, there are three of them, too. There are three.
Oh, there are three?
There are three on youth, because of the...
Don't you remember
the,
they were there? Weren't they there?
Yeah, there was a couple of them there. I'm trying to remember what...
Yeah, the other...
I didn't make that. I made some of the budget meetings, but I didn't make them.
The other two have almost perfect... Yeah, I mean, you can see that they've attended
well,
a lot.
Well, so. Daniel, he has come to our county board meetings more than once. He really enjoys them, so...
Well, I'll also just say this, for those of you who haven't participated in interviews yet, and you get this opportunity in March, Supervisor Decker has, we stress and overstress how important it is to attend the meetings. And that if you are not committed and your life is busy with sports or other activities, youth and governance isn't for you. You're making a choice to commit to attend these meetings and don't put your name on the list if you don't think you can fulfill it. So I just want you all to know that it's emphasized to the nth degree how important this is to fulfill, because you're taking the seat of a, you got another young person who could be there in your place, but you're filling the seat.
Did this Bennett reply to Supervisor Bruning's emails? So he's, because I had one that we kicked out a couple years ago, and he would never even reply to my emails asking him where he was. He never... Has Bennett said he's not going to make the meetings, or he just...
Now, that I don't know how much he's communicated
that,
to Supervisor Bruning. I don't know that.
In the past, mine never even told me that he wasn't coming or anything like that. I'm just wondering, you know. So he hasn't replied to any of Supervisor Bruning's emails.
Again, that I don't know. Oh. I don't know.
At 45%, he's pretty much quit.
He's made some choices, I'll say.
Well, kind of surprises me, though, that Madeline's just barely over 50%, and she was, you know, pretty critical on the 50%, so she's borderline, too. But the fact that, for me, I guess, I would probably, he seems to be having a track record, but the thing that matters, I think, the most to me is the fact that the mentor, who's the one who's had conversations, more or less recommended that we replace. Mm-hmm. If the mentor said, you know, the person's had family problems and is, you know, he's just barely under it, and I think we should, you know, give him a break, well, then I would probably say, let's give him a break.
I agree.
So that's my thought. So then, if somebody has any more comments, all those in favor of the motion to replace Bennett with the alternate, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
And for the record, the alternate is Autumn Jones.
Autumn.
Mm-hmm. Right, I will send the email to Chairman Kubicki, a notifying of this, and if he is in agreement, then we'll send the information to Bennett first and then follow up with a letter to Autumn inviting her to be a part of Finance and Administration. Okay? Let me also just tell you, thank you. Sometimes this part of the job isn't so fun because these are great kids and you get, but I will also just tell you that it was the youth themselves who put that attendance policy in place. Supervisor Decker, you remember that. I mean, it's their choice to say, you should start taking attendance and hold us accountable, so themselves. I want you to know that next month at PDEC meeting in January, we'll spend the entire time pretty much talking about youth and governance. It'll be the chance to review all the policies. So if there are any adaptations you want to recommend or changes to policies for consideration, that will be the time to do it. We'll look at the application procedures and sort of walk through what it looks like. Because we start soliciting nominations in January. So the process begins in January, goes through the spring, and it will be at the May County Board meeting that we have that event again where they will all be sworn in.
How is that communicated? How do we communicate this to the kids?
Variety of ways, actually. To solicit the nominations, we'll put out public press releases, number one. Number two, we send a letter to every school principal and counselor in Kenosha County and schools outside of Kenosha County where youth attend. So, for example, Burlington High School will have youth who, because of their address, will be in Burlington but a resident of Kenosha County. Okay, so we do that. We also have a list of previous individuals who have nominated. So it could be a church pastor, a Boy Scout Cub leader, whomever, but they get a special letter saying, you've nominated in the past, would you consider nominating again? the public news release goes out to everybody saying, you can nominate your own youth. You can nominate your own son or daughter if you'd like. So we try to open that up as widely as we can. The last thing we do is we ask all the current youth and governance members, you should nominate. You're in the best place in your schools to tell us who you would believe to be a viable candidate. So we rely on our youth and governance members to also nominate other youth.
I think we should go on to number four, because we're going to spend, pretty much you said, the whole next meeting
We're going to talk about that process. So I'll send you all the materials ahead of time so that you're well aware of it. You know exactly what we'll be reviewing. But real quickly, Carmela's going to just talk, because it's under youth and governance, the buzz session that occurred.
The what?
A buzz session. November 19th, we held a buzz session. I met with the current members of youth and governance, and we, first of all, I use this session to remind everyone about the attendance policies. We read the policy out loud, and I just, you know, reassure them that, you know, that there are consequences for not complying with the policies, that if they are getting close to that 50%, that they should, you know, do the math and, you know, make sure that they make it to the next meeting. So they have a previous warning. And even before we had the bus session, when I sent the email inviting them to the bus sessions a month ahead, I mentioned that one of the things that we were going to discuss was attendance policies. And I remind them that they have a commitment to attend, you know, more than 50% of the meetings. This year, we also have a new guest that we invited, a former Youth in Governance alumni. His name is Dustin Beth. He approached us about a month ago, and he said, you know, I gained so much from Youth in Governance. I learned so much. If there's anything I can help, you know, with, you know. Maybe. So I thought, what about if you come and do a short presentation in our bus session and you share your experiences of how the program has impacted you as an individual and, you know, how you relate your experience in with your success as a current elected official, but also as a school board official, but also as a young entrepreneur, because he has his own company. He's a consultant company. So he agrees. He went there, and he did a stunning presentation. The kids loved his presentation, and he said that he would be willing to do it in upcoming years. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe we should explore that and start, connecting with former, you know, YIG members and ask them, you know, would you be willing to come and do a short presentation and share some of your personal experiences once you have gone through the program? So we're looking forward to that. And that really provide a powerful, you know, testimony of, you know, how to get the best out of the program.
Did this Bennett come to the bus session?
He didn't.
He did?
He didn't.
Oh, he did not.
He did not.
Okay.
Where do we start with Lori?
I'm going to start. In the notes for this previous month, I referred to the indoor public market study that we're looking at conducting for downtown Kenosha, and I've been involved with it for the last few months. We're at an exciting point right now where a small committee comprised of the CAVA and Harbor Market and UW Extension is now expanding the committee membership to a number of small ag producers here in the county that could theoretically become vendors at the market if it should go forward. They're also big supporters of the UW Extension and Jenny Tunkey's. The chief of staff has also been invited to join us on the committee. So, basically, this committee will be executing the funding that we have. We got about $60,000 to convert to a feasibility study. And the UW Extension, we've been very active trying to find pieces within the feasibility study that we could provide through our UW specialists, specifically around consumer demand. So it's a really exciting time, and we're going to be contracting with the consultants within the next few months. And this committee will oversee the work. So stay tuned. It's a really exciting time.
Okay.
And since we're at the end of the year, all the Master Gardener volunteers turned in their hours and we've finally gotten all those numbers compiled. So we, 180 Master Gardener volunteers fulfilled the requirements to be active, what's considered an active volunteer. And that means that they donated a minimum of 24 hours of volunteer time and got 10 hours of continuing education in the last year. Now, from that, we actually had about an average of each one put in about 54 hours per person, so over twice the recommend the kind of minimum requirement. Of that, and I should also mention that this is a joint Kenosha and Racine County program, so these 180 are Kenosha and Racine County residents. And then we have a few that even cross the border from Illinois that are Lake County residents. But they do their volunteer work in Kenosha and Racine Counties. 28 of those 180 are new Master Gardener volunteers. They took their training a year ago, so fall of 2013. They completed their beginning level one in for 36 hours of training. And then after that, did their minimum of that 24 hours. And next week, they'll get their official name badges as Master Gardener volunteers and kind of get their official titles. So our totals for the program in 2014 were 9,731 hours of volunteer work in Kenosha and Racine counties. And that is valued to the two counties at $219,000, a little over that. So a very valuable amount of work that they do. Then last night, we had 32 new Master Gardeners, interns, who completed their training. So they're just starting out on their journey to become a Master Gardener volunteer. So they did 36 hours of education, and then they also had to pass an open book exam. Because we don't make them memorize everything like you think of as a college class, but they have to understand the concepts and be able to look it up and apply those concepts. So, really exciting.
So I wasn't at the last meeting, so I'll report on an event that happened in early November, which was we hosted an informational meeting in collaboration with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau on the new implements of husbandry legislation, which is, if you haven't heard of it, it's kind of a contentious issue, but it sets regulations for weights and lengths of farm machinery on local roadways. So we invited farmers and local law enforcement elected officials just to inform them and have a discussion and get them informed so they can make decisions for our local roadways in Kenosha County. So we had about 35 attendees. The Kenosha County Highway Department was present, as well as the Sheriff's Department, and I continue to have ongoing discussions with both farmers and elected officials on the options for implementing that legislation, which needs to be determined by January. So, in other news, wrapping up the application period for the 2015 Farm Fresh Atlas and beginning on production of that, so it's pretty exciting. I continue to investigate opportunities for local farm school programming in Kenosha County along with Perry Ward. So we're kind of collaborating on that and seeing if there is an opportunity here in Kenosha County to implement some sort of farm school programming, whether that's getting local foods into school lunches or maybe more of an educational focus. So those are my highlights. Thank you.
Okay, nutrition education update. The October was our fiscal year end for the Wisconsin Nutrition Education Program, and I'll pass these around to you. This is a year-end report. I just broke out Kenosha County. We also work with Racine, but this is just Kenosha County statistics. And let's see, pass a couple down that way, please. So essentially the first few paragraphs are in case you can't sleep at night and you know, need something to help make you sleepy. It's mostly demographic data, but it does a great job of showing that we do outreach to underserved populations. And of course our target, our audience that we are required to meet by our funding stream for the nutrition program is a low or limited income folks of all ages. The things that might be of note to you begin and are highlighted at the bottom of page one, and on page two I discuss the community partners that we work with in Kenosha County, and those are sort of broken out based on the educational program, as you'll see, with a few more statistics. So my favorite part of this report are the qualitative results of our programming that began at the bottom of page two. We just have to choose a few stories that can tell really the picture about what's going on. And I just want to share real briefly that the food pantry participants learned how to read nutrition labels and eat more fruits and vegetables. We have a nutrition educator that is a regular educator at both the Shalom Food Pantry and the Sharing Center. And she does a fantastic job of using products that are regularly available at those sites to prepare a nutritious meal and show the participants of the food pantry how to make healthier choices with the foods that are available in the pantry. So that is, I think, a really valuable program. We have some comments from that. We have some great comments from school-age children, one from a parent who was excited that her daughter was reading labels, and a little story about the senior participants too. So if you have any questions about the data or any other stories or any of the partners, please feel free to contact me at any time.
I just have three quick updates. One is I'm just delighted to announce that Lee Presley accepted our offer as our agricultural educator for Kenosha and Racine Counties. So we're delighted that the interim now can come off of her title. So, and I want to thank Supervisor Noble for serving on the committee reviewing the candidates. We had two representatives from Kenosha County and two representatives from Racine County.
When did she start?
January 1st. That's pending a positive result of her criminal background check.
Sketchy.
A little unsure.
Yes, that, so that. So she'll work 50%.
She's convicted felon. Yeah.
So she works 50% in her educational role, 50% in Kenosha, and 50% in Racine. And I'll just tell you that she literally spends 50% of her time. So 2 days 1 week, and 3 days the next week is how her schedule will be alternating. So she gets to learn that road between Kenosha and Racine County pretty well. So to do that.
When you were interim, were you full-time then?
I started out at 60, then I was bumped to 80, and I've been at 80 for the last few months.
And then yeah. Full-time is?
Will be 100%.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is up. I was thinking 80 hours in 5 weeks.
Oh. Yeah, it was 80%, yeah. I'm also very delighted to tell you that I just learned today that we are one of 15 counties who will be receiving a video conferencing package for our office. The Chancellor's Office has agreed to support 15 counties with a large screen TV, a computer, and a web camera to be able to do video conferencing through Skype and Google Hangouts in different areas. And it's a wonderful opportunity to do statewide meetings. We don't have to travel. And I submitted the application and gave all of the reasons why Kenosha County should be chosen. And you had to have support from your county IT. Our county IT was right on it. Of course we would support you. And we were selected as one of the 15 counties. So we're just delighted to be able to have those resources. And then lastly, for those of you who read the Saturday Kenosha News, you would have seen Amy's debut as a column in the Saturday paper. We've partnered with the Kenosha News, and they have agreed to run a Saturday column in the Kenosha News 1 day a week, where educators, actually it's the three ladies back there, Amy, Lee, and our nutrition coordinator, Terry, are going to rotate among themselves every third week to write an article. And so that's a great opportunity for us to extend our outreach and get more information out. Now, this is in addition to the weekly column that Barb Larson has had as horticulture educator since the day she started. So she's been doing an ongoing weekly column. So we're just appreciative of that.
Through Saturday, too.
Thursday.
Thursday.
So they're giving us that extra space. And Carmelo has said he's going to jump in the rotation when he's ready. So it gives him a little more time and he'll jump
pick
in.
Pick it up.
Yeah. We're going to make him pay when he comes out. We all get a vacation.
Okay.
To take some time.
I mean, yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, we got to negotiate with the muse. So. Wait, so.
Time for a brief?
Okay. Absolutely, yeah, okay, Carmelo. Great. I'm so sorry.
Have a brief because I know you're heading to the next meeting. So I just want to mention that last November 18 was the USAS Resources Board Grand Cycle meeting. Was the second one from the board. This time members work on another round of youth group with proposals for community-focused service projects. Three youth groups that were reviewed and fully funded were the Lakeview Technology Academy, the Bristol Challenge Phrase Club, and the Kenosha Christian Life School National Junior Honor Society. And I should mention that in the last meeting we have the honor to have two members from the endowment committee that wanted to go and see the board working in action, and they were very impressed with what they saw, that the youth and the adult advisors excel. We also have the staff from the Kenosha, the United Way of Kenosha that attended. They haven't attended in a while, so they were very impressed with how the youth performed during the meeting. We also have a videographer that took some footage, and this videographer volunteered to do a short video clip to promote YARD and to use it as a source to approach potential funders in the future. So he's planning to select one of the projects and follow them through and just put together a short story for potential funders.
Questions for anybody? I have a motion to recess and reconvene in 5 minutes in the public hearing room.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Vogel to recess and reconvene in 5. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Everybody have a good holiday.